And Daryl, Brother Daryl.
Shabbat Shalom. The Haftorah this week comes from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 to the end of the chapter 39. I'm going to kind of recap really quick what's going on at the time of this Haftorah, and then I'm going to slow down and pull out some points I want to make. But so I'm going to kind of go fast, just recapping it. So the northern kingdom is ruled by Ahab. The reason I don't say Ahab, because in Hebrew there's no ah sound. And I don't call her Jezebel because there's no J sound in Hebrew, and it's Isabel. That's the pronunciation in Hebrew for Jezebel. So the northern kingdom is ruled by Ahab and Isabel. They are at a time of a drought, but it's also at a time of great persecution and great fear. They're out slaying the faithful to Hashem by the hundreds. They're slaughtering prophets, and they are deeply on the hunt for Elijah or Eliyahu. They want him dead. He is still faithful to Hashem. He is speaking against the prophets of Baal and speaking very vocally against Ahab and Jezebel. So the drought is so bad that they're in fear of all losing all the livestock. So one person that's involved is on this. There's a journey for water, a search party for water, is Ahab himself and Obadiah, whose name is Obadiahu. So Obadiah, Ahab tells him, "You go this way. I'm going to go this way. We're going to look for water." Well, Obadiah is a kind of a secret agent for Hashem. He is still faithful, while they're focused on the vocal Elijah, and they really want to find him dead. He is kind of an undercover believer at the time. He's hiding 150 faithful believers in caves, and these caves are the caves of Carmel. Carmel means vineyard of God. So if you're unfamiliar where Carmel is, if you looked at a map of Israel and you looked where the knob of Haifa is, it is right below that knob of Haifa. It is a fertile mountain of vineyards on one side and stony limestone caves on the other side. But it is a place where kings go because there are wells there. So at a time of drought, there's water. And the kings of the time would make sure there was, during a time of drought, would make sure that only they have access to these wells. They don't want everybody having access. But right under his nose, Obadiah is hiding 150 faithful in these caves right near these wells. So I'm going fast. I'm recapping. So the Haftorah picks up during the course of this journey. Obadiah gets near the caves. He probably has an idea that there's water there, so he's headed in that direction, and he runs into Elijah, and basically the stage is set now where Elijah's not going to run anymore. He's going to face Ahab. He's going to face the prophets of Baal. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, he gathers his prophets at Carmel. So here we're about to have the standoff. 450 prophets. Now, these are not people walking around just in robes. They are warrior prophets. They have swords and lances with them. And so all the people of Israel hear about this showdown, and they begin to gather. There's going to be an audience. In verse 21, he says, "Until when are you hopping?" Elijah says to the people, "Why are you hopping around between these two ideas? Either you follow Baal, the prophet, or you follow Baal or Baal, or you follow the Lord. One or the other." And that message is for us too. You got to decide. Are you gonna say that you're following God and still hold on to some of the practices of Baal? That's something you have to ask yourself. So getting into the Haftarah, here's this standoff. And Ahab is very eager. He not only wants to impress Isabel that that Baal is actually the true God that they should follow. So he allows this standoff. He allows Elijah to stay alive for this standoff. And so Elijah has this plan. He says, we're going to take two bulls. Now, these two bulls are from a corrupted, unfaithful people. He says, because he says, and let them give us two bulls. Okay? He's talking about the followers of Baal. And Elijah builds an altar. And he goes through the instructions. They have one bull, and that bull is prepared by the prophets of Baal according to their Baalian customs. I don't know how else to... According to Baal's customs, they prepare that bull, and they put it on an altar, and they begin to go through this crazy frenzy of trying to call upon their God to consume it, because the decision is with whoever calls upon their God and it consumes the sacrifice with fire, that will be the true God. So they dance around, they cut themselves with swords. Like I said, these are warrior prophets of Baal. When lances, they're in a frenzy, they actually jump up on the altar. The altar is damaged in the process. They're trying to mix their blood with the blood of the bull. And, of course, we know we get around noon. This has been happening all morning. Nothing has happened. And Elijah, for a guy that has a death penalty hanging over his head, he taunts them. I really like this guy, but, you know, I would probably say he's not long for the world if I were there at that time. So he taunts them and says, hey, call out loud. You know, maybe he's talking. Maybe he's having a conversation with someone. Or maybe he's pursuing an enemy and he doesn't have time for you. Maybe he's on a journey, or maybe he's sleeping. Now think about these things that he is attributing to, that he is ridiculing their God, that he's attributing to them. He's saying, your God can be distracted and he can slumber and not pay attention. But the Lord cannot be distracted. He is always attentive. Everything, all of these things that are just the antithesis to the Lord that we know. The frenzy goes on. Nothing happens. They're bleeding, dancing. It's probably a pretty brutal scene with this damaged altar there. And then, of course, we know the story is Elijah goes up. He prepares a bull. But it's their bull. This is one of these things you have to kind of keep up with me on this. He prepares a bull, but it is not a bull from the herds of God. Okay? So keep that in mind, because that's going to be important. He slays a bull, and then he has water poured over it. He has four, for lack of a better word, four barrels poured over the sacrifice and altar three times. What's three times four? Okay. Now we know what the representation of the 12 is, right? Three times, I don't know what that representation means. Why three times? I tend to believe, and please go out and search this for yourself, I tend to believe it's three periods. I tend to believe it's the first temple period, the second temple period, because the final one is 12 and it's complete. It's the last the temple that is still yet to come. We've been talking in the previous Torah portions in Haftarah about the final temple coming. But please search it for yourself. That's not poured in concrete by any stretch. So Elijah prepares a bull. He repairs the altar. He repairs the altar. There's some significance in that. He repairs the altar. And he calls one person, Elijah, one person calls upon the name of the Lord. And it says, not only did fire come down from heaven, Esh, the word is Esh. It can mean fire. It can also mean judgment of God by fire. It comes down from heaven. It doesn't only consume the wood that's been stacked up. There's plenty of wood around. By the way, it's a drought. There's a lot of dead trees gathered around from a vineyard. So all of these things, historically, it lines up. And not only is the wood consumed, the sacrifice is consumed, the water is consumed, and the stones are consumed. What's the significance of that? The significance is, as Rabbi talked about it a while ago in 2 Corinthians. I don't know if you can put 2 Corinthians back up there. The verse, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Do not touch what is unclean. Okay, try to understand we're dealing with a stack of wood soaked by water. Blood from is covered by blood from the sacrifices, and it's covered by blood from those prophets of Baal that have cut themselves. And it's mixing in the water, but remember, they dug a trench to contain everything right in there. But everything is consumed, because that is judgment. Everything that is touched by the water, the dirt, it's consumed. It's gone. It's vaporized. And it's judged. So I guess the last thing I just want to give a summary of these two bulls. I told you I was going to come back to the two bulls, all right? Rabbi teaches us frequently about syncretism, about mixing things that are not of God with things that are of God. Okay. Both of these bulls had come from the flocks of the prophets of Baal, for the people who are unfaithful. These two sacrifices were mixed together on that altar. That altar was contaminated by the blood of a mixed sacrifice. Now, try to understand the fact that Obadiah is involved in looking for this water. There are faithful people among this. The fact that Israel has gone astray, there are still faithful people among that. The fact that there's still small places where water is, that's a picture of preservation. There will always be a small number of people that will be fed by hidden wells and that will prosper at a time of great unbelief. And so both of these bulls are consumed because they're both corrupt. This is judgment upon syncretism. Because even Elijah knows that as a faithful man, he cannot slay a bull that is not in line with the instructions of God to be chosen. He cannot. That is still not it's still not right. It is still not a proper bull. Or what we want to say, kosher. It's not kosher. So he knows that this unkosher bull that he prepares is still going to be consumed. It is a testimony to everyone around. Was all of this successful? Yes. Because he says in verse 38, and all the people saw and fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. Even the prophets of Baal, he says all, even the prophets of Baal could not publicly deny what had just occurred. Not only did it prove who the Lord was, it proved who the Lord wasn't to everyone around. So, what does that mean for us? You're going to have to search out for a lot of us, myself included, who came from different places and different practices. We have to search out those things that are not in line with His Torah. And we have to get rid of those things, because those things are we're going to feel the heat of them when they're combusted and they're burned. So it's not only a personal thing for us to do. We need to get rid of those things, the syncretism in our life. But we also need to understand that God has left wells for you, and it's going to get hot. It's going to get dry, but he's going to leave wells, and he's going to leave 150 faithful people hidden until he is ready for them to come out. So I hope I was able to paint the picture for you of what's happening here. And Elijah is a proclamator. He's a believer who proclaims. Obadiah is a preservationist. He is a secret believer who. So there's two kinds of people that are involved in this on the faithful side. So you're one of them. You're probably one of those two personalities. You're a proclaimer or a preservationist. So thank you very much.